Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Rabbi Fine. And it's true. It's literally been about maybe more than 10 years that I've had this chus to come to Stern to learn with our amazing students. And I don't take it for granted. I don't take it for granted, A, that I was invited to come back and speak. And I don't take it for granted that people show up. I know how incredibly busy everyone is over the course of the day and the night, and especially at the beginning of the semester. And it's a big chizuk for me, and I'm sure for everyone in the room, when we're able to get together and to learn Torah, and to do it in a way that's just Torah for Torah's sake. It's not a class, there are no papers or grades or anything of that nature. We're here to learn because we want to be inspired, and we want to grow. And I really like when we get to do it in this room. It's very special. Usually we're in Kach, but there's something very nice about being in the Beis Medrash together. So let's learn about Elul. Let's delve into the world of Elul. Obviously, tshuva is the word that's on our mind. But I want to explore one of the interesting hints that we find in the Sfarim about Chodesh Elul. Now, for whatever reason, it became Minag Yisrael. It's like a famous thing by the Jewish people that we come up with acronyms for Elul. We find words and phrases that somehow allude to Elul. Most famously, Ani Lidodi, Vidodi Li, the first four letters, Ani Lidodi, Vidodi Li, spells out Elul. And there are many, many, many such acronyms. If you look in works of Hasidus and Kabbalah, you'll find even more. But even in works of Halacha, you'll find Ramazim, you'll find hints to the month of Elul. If you look in the first source, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, very basic work of introductory work of Halacha, an overview of Halacha. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, describing the month of Elul, a whole slew of acronyms. Let's start from the fourth line. He writes, Od Amru Darshei Rishumos. Darshei Rishumos means individuals who like to expound the letters and wordplay. The Darshei Rishumos, not the name of a sefer, it's just a category of Jews who like these types of ramazim. They explain on the words Umal Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav Zarecha. The pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will circumcise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the blockage of our hearts and the hearts of our children. Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav, you can see it, it's bolded. Roshei Tevos Elul. Hashem will remove the blockage of the heart. Okay, that sounds tshuvadik. V'chein ani ledodi v'dodi li. Roshei Tevos Elul. V'chein, here's another one. Ish l're'ehu u'matanos le'evyonim. From Megillas Esther, that's an interesting one. Ish l're'ehu u'matanos le'evyonim is Roshei Tevos Elul. Interesting. Remez l'shlosha dvarim. He says, perhaps these three acronyms, removing the blockage of the heart, ani ledodi vedodi li, ish lere'eyu matanos levyonim, which in context means giving matanos levyonim, giving tzedakah on Purim, perhaps, he says, correspond to the threefold method of coming back to Hashem, tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. That's nice, that works. Shetzrichin lehizdariz behem b'chodesh zeh, that we need to strengthen our commitment to these things in this month. So what are the three? Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha, circumcise the heart, so that's tshuva. Ani ledodi vedodi li, right? The somewhat intimate conversation between creator and created, between Hashem and the Jewish people. Ani ledodi vedodi li, that's tefillah. Talk it out with Hashem. Reconnect. Sit down and have a heart-to-heart with Hashem. And of course, ish l're'ehu u'matanos le'evyonim, right? Is tzedakah. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. That's how we get close to Hashem, and it's how we're zocha to a good year up ahead. Okay, these are some of the famous ramazim, the famous hints of Chodesh Elul. But if we go back to the beginning of the source, before he quotes any of this, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Arizal. The holy Arizal, probably the greatest Kabbalist of all time, whose derech in Kabbalah is really the halacha of Kabbalah, Harav Adonenu Rav Yitzchak Luria Zichrona Levracha. That's the Arizal. He brings a different remez, which I want to learn together today. The pasuk says, "Va'asher lo tzada, va'ha'elokim ina liyado, v'samti lecha." Rashi Tevos Elul. What are the four words? Ina liado v'samti lecha. What is the context of this pasuk? What is it talking about? So let's actually take a look at the whole pasuk. If you look in source number 2 in Parshas Mishpatim, it talks about a case of murder. Sometimes murder happens, God forbid, intentionally, and sometimes tragically, people are killed by accident. The pasuk says in source number 2, "Make ish v'meis mos yumas." If a person kills someone else, the murderer will be put to death. Va'asher lo tzada, but if it was not with what tzada, Rashi says in the brackets, lo arav v'lo niskavein. The person was not ambushed, it was not premeditated, it was not with willful intent, it was never meant to be. Va'ha'elokim ina liado, but how would you translate that? But God brought it to his hand. You're blaming Hashem, it's Hashem's fault. It's part of the master plan. Hashem somehow orchestrated that this tragedy would come about. Concludes the pasuk, "V'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama." We should designate a place for the accidental murderer to flee. Happens to be this week's parsha also. As we enter deeper into Chodesh Elul, this Shabbos we're going to learn about the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge that a person who, God forbid, kills someone else by accident runs to. Says the Arizal, "Ina liyado v'samti lecha" is Rashi Tevo's Elul. It's a very strange piece of a pasuk. Ina liyado, Hashem brought it to his hand, v'samti lecha, and you should therefore designate a place that the accidental murderer should go to. So I want to try to understand. There's the Arizal there. I mean, Arizal is the Arizal. We have to try to understand what does this have to do with Chodesh Elul? What is a case of accidental murder and Ir Miklat? What does that teach us about the tshuva process? What does that teach us about Chodesh Elul? And what does it really teach us about the nature of Averos in general? Which I think is something we need to learn how to think about in a nuanced and mature and healthy and deep way. How do we look at our mistakes? What's the right way to look at mistakes? If I don't know how to look at mistakes, it's hard to figure out how to do tshuva. So how do I figure out the nature, the essence of what went wrong, and then I'm able to try to be metakin, to try to somehow fit. So there's a phrase, there's a refrain that we're going to use in the days ahead, throughout the Yom Noram, a pasuk that we think about a lot in the context of Slichos and Tshuva, in source number 3 in Parsha Shlach. Again, the context is mistaken Avodah Zarah. If people accidentally worshipped Avodah Zarah, there was a certain practice that they thought was perhaps an acceptable practice. It turns out that it's an idolatrous practice, and they need some type of kapara. Okay. So says the Torah, we'll start from the end, Pasuk Vav in source number 3, V'nislach, when you bring this karban on behalf of those individuals who were involved in this mistaken act of Avodah Zarah is pretty serious. But if the people messed up, if people were misled, perhaps by Beis Din, perhaps there was a ruling that certain things are permitted, and then they found out, you know what, it's actually not permitted, and you bring this karban as a kapara, says the pasuk in Parsha Shlach, last pasuk in source number 3 where it's bolded, v'nislach lechol adas b'nei Yisrael. We're going to say this over the course of Yom Noram, v'nislach Hashem, right? Grant slicha. I'm saying it more as us talking to Hashem, but v'nislach lechol adas b'nei Yisrael, the kapara, this karban will bring repentance, will bring forgiveness, will bring cleansing to the Jewish people. V'lager hagar b'socham. Look at the last 4 words. Ki lechol ha'am bishkaga. Because after all, we're not so bad. This was a mistake. This was an accident. V'nislach lechol adas b'nei Yisrael v'lager hagar b'socham. Ki lechol ha'am bishkaga. Because the entire people messed up. We made a mistake. It was shogeg. It wasn't mazed. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't willful. It wasn't rishus. It wasn't evil. It was an accident. We made a mistake. This is a phrase that we're going to use again throughout the course of the Yomim Noram. Again, in the Pshat, it's talking about an actual mistake where we were misled by the Beis Din to do some type of act of Avodah Zarah. But we have to think about this. Ki l'chol ha'am bishkaga. And again, we use this pasuk, we borrow this pasuk out of context, and we kind of just contextualize the whole Yom Noram experience. We show up before Hashem and we say, by the way, Hashem, ki l'chol ha'am bishkaga. It was all shogeg. So, let's be honest for a second. It's El, it's a time we're allowed to be a little more honest with ourselves. Is that true? Is every avera that I did this past year shogeg? I'll go first. I did things on purpose. There were times when I knew I was speaking Lashon Hara, and I still didn't stop myself from speaking Lashon Hara. There were times when I knew I was spacing out during davening, I didn't do anything to change my ways. There's times where we know, what do you mean, shoge? Oh, it was an accident, right? And chutzpah, I'll even borrow the pasuk that we started with in Mishpatim. Elokim ina liyado, God brought it to my hand. It's God's fault. I'm such a good guy. I would never, God forbid, I would never do such a thing. How do we get up before Hashem on the high holidays and say, ki l'chol ha'am bishkaga, everything's shogeg, there's a terrible misunderstanding here, Hashem. It's not what it looks like. Is that an honest thing to say? Is that a fair thing to say? Is that a true thing to say? It's very hard to say such a thing. It's very hard to say such a thing. But the truth is, if we fast forward a little bit to Yom Kippur, to Yom HaKippurim, in source number 4 in Parshas Acharei Mos, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alecha. What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the day where we're most brutally honest with Hashem. We're the most real with ourselves and with our Creator, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the line in the Chumash that defines the Yom Kippur experience is, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem letaraschem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. On this day, we're going to be so fortunate on Yom Kippur, we're going to have the opportunity letaraschem to purify ourselves, lifnei Hashem titaru, to be cleansed before Hashem, to literally be so close to Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik used to describe it as, like, you know, if a person has a stain on your garment and you're trying to scrub it out, right? So your hand or whatever the cloth you're using, you're literally rubbing one thing against the other thing to try to remove the dirt, to try to remove the stain, to try to remove that blemish, whatever it is. So Rav Soloveitchik says on Yom Kippur, we're like rubbing up against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and when you make contact with Hashem, it scrubs a person clean. We're lifnei Hashem titar, it's kavaldik, it's awesome. But what do we say? We're going to be cleansed from what? Mikol chatoseichem. From all of our chataim. What is a chait? There's different terms that we use for sin. Avon, pesha, chait. What is chait as opposed to, let's say, pesha? Pishaim are the things we do on purpose. Mazid, intentional averos. Here we show up on Yom Kippur, we're going to be cleansed of all of our chatoseichem, all of our accidents. Chait means shogeg. Again, where's the honesty? Where's the accountability? Where's showing up and saying, Hashem, you know what? It's not all one big mistake. I messed up. I was irresponsible. I could have done much better. How can I show up on Yom Kippur and say it's chatoseichem? The word chait. Don't just translate it loosely as sin. It's talking about a particular type of sin. It's talking about an accidental sin. So what does that mean? Does that mean my intentional sins are not cleaned away on Yom Kippur? How do you understand this pasuk? So the Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, in the year Tafresh Memhei, in source number 5, in his writings on Yom Kippur. Okay, we'll roll back the clock a little bit. Tafresh Memhei. The Sfas Emes explains, maybe I can explain the pasuk as follows. The pasuk letar eschem mikol chatoseichem, he raises our question, v'chet hu shogeg. He acknowledges, he notices that the word chet implies accident. So are only my accidents cleaned away on Yom Kippur? What about my intentional sins? And is it honest to say that everything is an accident? Says the Sfas Emes, let me tell you why on Yom Kippur, the only thing you need to fix are accidents. You don't have, by the time Yom Kippur rolls around, you don't have any intentional sins anymore. What do I mean by anymore? Lachein amru chazal, di Yom HaKippurim ba'i tshuva. Our sages teach us that Yom Kippur requires tshuva. What does that mean? Look what he explains. It'll become clear in a second. Vayidei hatshuva gam meyira hazidonos nasin shagagos. The Sfas Emes is alluding to a Gemara in Meseches Yoma that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to negotiate. If you do averos on purpose and you do tshuva out of yira, out of awe, I don't like the word fear, even though it's also true, it's a correct translation, but you're inspired by the awe of Hashem, to want to change your ways. It's not tshuva out of ahava, it's not tshuva out of love, but tshuva out of yira, tshuva out of fear. You're scared into changing your ways, or the awe of Hashem causes you to want to change your ways. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, lowers your offense from what? From an intentional sin, it gets knocked down. If you do tshuva, even a lower level tshuva out of fear, it lowers your avera from what? From intentional sin to accidental sin. That's good. Anyone ever go to traffic court? Anyone had that? No one wants to raise their hand for that, right? I did. Yeah? You show up, and you're like, okay, so someone, right? My friend told me, like, if I show up, somehow they'll negotiate, which is like a weird thing, because I'm not denying that I was driving 15 miles over the speed limit when I got pulled over. So you show up, and they say, well, if you're willing to plead guilty, we'll change your offense, right? Anyone had this experience? We're willing to negotiate. We'll change your offense from speeding to driving without a seatbelt. So I'm thinking, I can't plead guilty to driving without a seatbelt. I was wearing a seatbelt. That's a lie. That's sheker. That's not true. And so they're like, well, do you want it or not? Right? I mean, if you want, you can plead guilty to the full offense. So like, well, what's the advantage of pleading guilty to a seatbelt violation? Well, you get less points and you'll pay a bigger fine and we'll make money off of you and shalom al yisrael, we'll go our separate ways. Right? So you come to the court, you know, like the Gemara says, lahavdil, malchusa da'ara ke'in malchusa derakia. Right? The government down below is a reflection of the government on high. So Hashem also is willing to negotiate. So you come before Hashem and you say, Hashem, I did amazing, but if I give you a little bit of tshuva, can you lower it to an act? Can we call it an accident? So Hashem says, fine, we'll call it an accident. By the way, the continuation of that Gemara, what happens if you do tshuva out of love? Whatever that means, tshuva me'ava, that higher level tshuva, your aveira can actually become a mitzvah, which is an incredibly deep idea. Or according to Rav Soloveitchik and Ala Tshuva, incredibly logical idea. Right? That your aveira can be transformed into a mitzvah. That's incredible. That Hashem's willing to take something that was once on the one side of the scale and move it over to the other side of the scale is an incredibly deep idea. But says the Sfas Emes, on Yom Kippur, every single Jew, every one of us at the very least is going to hit some level of tshuva. Will we hit the highest level of tshuva? I don't know. But we'll at least touch tshuva meira, which means that even our averas that we did on purpose have been now lowered, have been downgraded to the level of what? To the level of accident. All of the averas that we did, b'mezid, once we do tshuva meira, they get downgraded to accidental averas. So now, says the Sfas Emes, we understand the pasuk. Ki v'yom hazeh, by the time Yom Kippur rolls around, ki v'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tar eschem mikol chatoseichem. The averas that we have on Yom Kippur are at worst shogeg, chet, they're accidents. Because even if I've just done a little bit of tshuva, I've already lowered the Aveira down to the level of Chet, to the level of Shogeg, and then Yom Kippur will work to remove accidents. Yom Kippur will try to give me an entirely clean slate. That's how the Sfas Emes reads this Pasuk. Very interesting. But I want to go back to just the simple statement of the Pasuk itself. It's almost as if we're saying that all of our Aveiros are just one big accident. Or our Pasuk in Shlach, V'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael v'lagera garbis v'cham ki l'chol ha'am bishkaga. So let's learn a very deep idea from the Maharal of Prague. We can learn it because we're sensitive and mature Jews. You can't teach this idea to a child. And you can't teach this idea to an irresponsible Jew because it's very easy to abuse. But the holy Maharal of Prague, taking us back to the 1500s, one of the greatest Bali Machshava of Jewish history, in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael in source number 6, the Maharal of Prague says an incredibly deep thing. We have to understand it in a healthy and mature and responsible way. Kvar amarnu lecha pa'amim harbei, in source number 6. I've told you many times, she'kol chet b'Yisrael hu mitzad ha'mikra. Every avera that a Jew has ever done on a certain level is mikra. Happenstance. An accident. What's the Maharal saying? How does the Maharal say that? I can tell you nothing compared to the Maharal, but I can argue on the Maharal and tell you, Maharal, I can assure you there are errors that I did on purpose. I can assure you of it. So how can the Maharal say, no, it was an accident. It was mikra. It was happenstance. It was like a freak accident. It was totally accidental. Mikra. Chance. It was chance. It was random. Your avera was random. How does the Maharal say such a thing? Ve'ein chet mitzad etzem tzurasan. Such beautiful words. It's the Maharal of Prague cutting through all of the noise of our Yetzirah and trying to help us redefine ourselves. Friends, what do we say every morning? Elokai neshama shenasata bi tohorahi. My neshama is good and pure. I'm a good person. Every one of us is a holy and pure neshama. So what happens when I do averas? Do I lose that right to say, if I did an avera last night, should I wake up this morning and skip that part of my siddur? Alokai neshama shenasata bi tohorehi. That my neshama is pure, not after what happened yesterday. It's not so pure anymore. Is that really what happens? Says the Maharal of Prague, no. Maharal says, your averas are not you. Your averas are an accident. Your averas are something happened by chance. It's not, look at the words again, ve'ein chet mitzad etzem tzurasa. The avera is not a reflection of one's essential self. Etzem tzurasa. Who are you really? When you get up in the morning, you say, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahori. That's true. Maybe I did some averas. Maybe my body led me to sin. But who am I? You know, the late Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Tversky, Rabbi Abraham J. Tversky, author of like 75 million Jewish books. I'm sure you have at least one. So Rabbi Tversky used to say, he used to criticize people, and they would say, people used to say, you know, like, I have a neshama. He would say, no, you don't. I don't have a neshama. He would say, no, you are a neshama. You have a body. You are a neshama. You don't have a neshama. Neshama is not like something you purchased along the way of life. Your neshama is the essence of who you are that's eternal. Your body is the part of you that we get to borrow for a period of time. That's very superficial. But your neshama, that's who you are at your core, at your essence. So the Maharal of Prague is developing a very deep idea. When a Jew does an avera, and like I said, you have to be responsible with this idea, right? It's very easy to say, well, I mean, every avera that I did, it's not really who I am. It's not really who I am. Obviously, you can be very manipulative in abusing this idea. But the Maharal of Prague is saying, if you really look deeper, you're not, averas are not you. That's not who you are. And even if in a rational sense, in a linear time sense, you'll say, what do you mean? I was present, I knew what I was doing, it was premeditated. But the Maharal is still screaming at you, that's not who you really are. That's not the essence of your soul. And that's part of what we're revealing when we come to Yom Kippur, when we say that it was all chet, it was all shogeg. Ki l'chol ha'am b'shkaga. Even my biggest avera, like the context of Parsha Shlach, even the Avodah Zarah that I did, it's not who I really am. It's not who I really am. And if I get to know who I really am, then I can start to actually do tshuva. In yeshiva this year, we're learning Maseches Gittin. So I just started teaching Maseches Gittin. All about the laws, Jewish law of divorce. So there's a famous discussion in Maseches Gittin. It's a very painful discussion. The sugya of a husband who, God forbid, refuses to give his wife a get. It's a terribly evil thing. He's using it for leverage against his wife, and Beis Din says it's terrible what this individual is doing. In my lifetime, I've had the schus to stand outside people's apartments chanting, give your wife a get, to apply pressure to people that they should do the right thing. When I was in college, when I was in YU, one of my friends was involved in starting an organization that tried to help agunas, and I had the schus to help Jewish women who were held in captivity to convince their husband through a little, you know, social pressure to do the right thing. So the halacha says the following. The catch-22 of the halacha is that halacha says, the Torah defines, that for a get to be a kosher get, it has to be given willingly. The husband has to give it willingly. Okay, so then how do you coerce a husband? How does the Mishnah say in Maseches Gittin that a get that was extracted through coercion by a Jew is a kosher get? How is that possible? So the Mishnah tells us, not in Maseches Gittin, but elsewhere, that we can put pressure on the husband until he wants to give the get. In other words, we find ways, through a variety of pressure, to help him, in quotes, to want to do the right thing. So, to such a degree, don't try this at home, right? We'll never do this in our society today, but in theory, if we were living in a Torah halacha society, we could even apply physical force to get the husband to do the right thing. The Mishnah says, Kofin Osa, we strike him, Achiyomer Rotze Ani, until he says, I want to give the get. So the Rambam, in the most Hasidish Rambam that I know of, if you know a different one, let me know. But the Rambam, the great rationalist philosopher, becomes a chassid all of a sudden. And the Rambam writes, in a very famous piece, in source number 7, Hilchos Gerushin, the Laws of Divorce, Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf. The Rambam says, what kind of joke are we making with the halachic system? You're telling me a get has to be given beratzon. It has to be given willingly. So you're going to tell me, you're going to send some shluchim of Beis Din You're going to send some big thugs wearing big black trench coats. They're going to show up at this guy's house. They're going to rough him up until he utters the magic phrase, Rotze Ani. Oh, he said he wants to give the get. You heard it, right? We all heard it. He said, Rotze Ani. Okay, it's a kosher get. The Rambam says, isn't this like a total farce? It's a total joke. That's called wanting to give the get? Look at these words of the Rambam. They're beautiful. The Rambam says, in source number 7, I'm reading in the middle where it's bolded, the Rambam says, when is something called forced or coerced? Onus. If you force someone to do something that they don't have to do, and you force them to do that thing, that's called coercion. But says the Rambam, look at these words. Aval mi shetekafo yitzro hara levatel mitzvah. But a person who is what? Who is being forced, who's being overpowered by his yitzro hara, to not do a mitzvah. O lasos avera, or to do an avera. And now you force that person to do what he's really obligated to do, namely that mitzvah, or to stop doing that avera. If you force him away from, to distance him from the thing that's prohibited to him, that's not called coercion. You know why? Look at this. Elahu anas atzmo bidaito hara. Who are you striking when you strike this fellow? Who is he? His wife's being held hostage by him, but who is he being held hostage by? Is he a tzahara? So what you're really doing, you're not, right, knocking the sense out of him, you're knocking the sense into him. You're beating up his yetzer hara, says the Rambam. He is being coerced by his perverted thinking, and therefore, look at these words, three lines from the end. Lefichach zeh she'eino rotze legarish. If a man, God forbid, is manipulating halacha to hold his wife hostage, me'acher shu rotze lihiyos mi'Yisrael. Since we know that he wants to be a Jew, how do you know? Because he also wakes up in the morning and says, Elokai neshama shenasata bitori. In my heart of hearts, I want to be a good Jew. For whatever reason, he's doing this horrific, abusive thing to his wife. Maybe it's for custody, maybe it's for money, whatever he's using that get as leverage against his wife for, it's a sick perversion of how a Jew should act. But that's only because some Yetzer Hara thinking has overcome him. It's a Ruach Shtus, it's a temporary insanity. So we're trying to knock the senses back into him, to set him free from his Yetzer Hara. V'rotzehu lasos kol mitzvos. Because every Jew, in his or her heart of hearts, wants to do what's right, wants to do the mitzvos. And therefore, when he utters that magic phrase, Rotze Ani, I want to give the get, the Rambam says halacha takes it very seriously. Maybe it's the two most honest words he ever spoke in his entire life. When he says, Rotze Ani, it's coming from a really, really deep place. Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita, big Rav in Borough Park, incredible author of the Sefer Amunas Itecha, Rav of the beautiful Kehila called Amunas Yisrael. So he writes in one of his Svarim where he talks about this Rambam and the essential nature of the Jewish soul. Like we learned from the Maharal that your averos are an accident because it's not really who you are. He points out an incredible thing. He says the gematria of the word Rotze Ani, for those who like gematrias, Rotze Ani is exactly gematria Yom Kippur. Because what day of the calendar year does every Jew say Rotze Ani, I want to be a good Jew? Now, for those who are checking it, let me just help you with the spelling. Rotze Ani is spelled as it appears on the page. Yom Kippur is spelled without a yud as it's written in the Torah. Okay, so it's Chaf Pe Vav Resh, 362. Rotze Ani is Yom Kippur. It's the day where a Jew, right? Maybe you don't overtly say it, but our heart is screaming, Rotze Ani Hashem, you know I want to be good. You know I want to be better. You know I want to return to you. And when we understand that this is the essence of really what an Avera is, so now we come back to the word chet that we said before means shogeg. How else can we translate the word chet? We translated it loosely as sin. We translated it more precisely as accidental sin. But how does it appear, for example, in Sefer Shoftim, in the story of Pilegesh Begiva? How does it appear in the beginning of Malachim Aleph in verses 8 and 9? Says the Pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, in Perek Chaf, after that horrific, again, strange civil war that was taking place between Klal Yisrael and Shevet Binyamin, the story of Pilegesh Begiva, it says that the people of Binyamin gathered together many very fine soldiers, expert soldiers. Pasuk Tazayin in source number 8. Mikol ha'am hazeh shava me'oz ish bachur, iter yad yamino. Left-handed soldiers who were incredibly skilled to such a degree. Kol zeh koleya be'even el hasa'ara. Each one could shoot the arrow or fire the slingshot at a hare. Ve'lo yachati. Could aim at the tiniest little line, v'lo yachati. What does lo yachati mean in that context? And not miss the mark. Expert marksmen who were able to hit the target perfectly, even a hair's breadth, v'lo yachati, and not to miss the mark. So what does it mean when we do an aveira? What is the word chait mean? Every avera that we ever did, it was because we were disoriented. We weren't thinking straight. We weren't being true to ourselves. We missed the mark. We failed to meet our own potential. And therefore, the whole avoda of Yom Kippurim and tshuva, and now circling back to Elul, is to come to that realization that if I would just be a little bit more attentive, a little bit more focused, a little bit more true to myself, then I'd be great. And I probably am great. I'm sure everyone here is great. But I'd be that much greater because I'd be that much more authentic. I'd be that much more true to my inner self. So let's go back to what we started with. We wanted to understand this remez from the Arizal. That the Arizal says, Elul is hinted to in Ina Liyado Visamti Lecha. What? What does that have to do with anything? The case of an accidental murder, an ir miklat? But the answer is yes. But the Arizal is hinting to us, and there's a lot of ways to be ma'arich on this idea, but just to say it simply, what the Arizal is telling us is that yes, even some of the big aveiras that we did, it was really shogeg, it was really, the whole thing was an accident. Elul becomes our ir miklat, our safe space, our safe haven, that place where we turn inward, and we start to process that, you know what, the aveiras that I did was only because I wasn't aiming, I wasn't attentive, I wasn't focused, and therefore I wasn't hitting the target. But if I would just be a little bit more connected to myself, my own neshama, if I would believe that my averos are mikra, that it's not who I am, if I would realize that in fact I'm a very, very good Jew, so it would be so much easier, again, to show up on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and to make commitments for the new year with a real sense of knowing myself. Moshe Rabbeinu got himself into a lot of trouble at one point in the Chumash. Whatever happened with that staff in his hand and that rock, maybe he was supposed to speak to the rock and not hit the rock. Maybe hit the rock twice. There's a lot of different opinions in the Rishonim and the Achronim what happened in that scene. But some Rishonim say that the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu was not hitting the rock, not hitting the rock twice. It was what he said to the Jewish people. He said to the Jewish people, "You Jews, you're a bunch of rebels. You're a bunch of rebels. Shimuna Hamorim, listen up, you rebels. I'm going to teach you a lesson." And then Moshe hits the rock and he brings out the water. And he gets into big trouble for that. Some say, "How dare you speak to the Jewish people like that? You called the Jewish people rebels?" So I'll ask you, a couple of parashios ago, not once, but twice in the parasha, it talks about how Mamrim Ha'isim as Hashem, how you rebelled against Hashem. Moshe says it, he doesn't get in any trouble for it. Why? Because there's a big difference between saying, listen carefully, Shimu Naha Morim, listen up, you rebel. We define a person as a rebel, as a bad person, versus saying, you rebelled as an action against Hashem. That's Chinuch 101. A parent says to a child, "You did the wrong thing," is one thing. But if a parent tells a child, "You're a bad kid," if a teacher says to a student, you're a bad person, don't define the person like that. The person's a good person. The behavior may be inappropriate and should be rebuked for it. Right? But we have to distinguish between the action and the person, and that's what Chodesh Elul is hinting to. Ina liyado v'samti lecha. Some things happened. Yes, these hands did certain things. Right? But v'samti lecha makom asher yonos shama. Come to the ir miklat. Enter into a state of cheshbon and nefesh. Think about what went wrong and also what went right, and realize, yachati, I missed the mark. I wasn't aiming properly. Or as Bathsheba says to David HaMelech when she's nervous, what happens after you die, David? Shlomo, what's going to be with Shlomo's kingdom? If you don't put things into motion now, then she writes in source number 9, Ani uveni Shlomo chata'im. Then Shlomo and I are going to be sinners? That's not the right way to translate it. Rashi says, chaserim umenu'in, that we're going to be removed, we're going to be set aside, we're not going to be front and center anymore. Chait means that you're not attentive, you're not focused, you're not hitting the target. You're too distracted by things. But if we could just, again, and this is the avodah of Elo, to start getting focused, to start being more attentive, to being more aware of who we are and the things that we're doing. And realizing that, again, the chatam of the Jewish people are mikra, their happenstance, it's not who we are. So what's the tikkun when we become more focused? When a person says, okay, so I want to pay attention. I want to get it right. What's the end of the pasuk? Ina liyado, that's the end of the remez, right? Ina liyado v'samti lacha, aleph lamed vav lamed elo. But the end of the pasuk is v'samti lacha makum asher yanus shama. I have to go to a particular place. I need to come to an ir miklat. You know, there's a conversation that I love from Alice in Wonderland, as you can see on the page in front of you. The conversation between the Cheshire Cat and Alice. She's lost, you know? Ta'isi kase oved. I'm lost like a wandering sheep, like David HaMelech says. And she meets this cat. And she says to the cat, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to get to, said the cat. I don't much care where, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. So as long as I get somewhere, right, she replies. Oh, you're sure to do that, said the cat, if you only walk long enough. If you just keep bouncing around through life, you're going to end up somewhere. You're going to end up somewhere. Something's going to happen. Fine. Maybe some interesting things will happen. Something's right, something's wrong. But the moral of this passage in Alice in Wonderland is, if you don't know where you're trying to get to, you can't get there. And that's also part of what the Arizal is telling us in this remez, this hint, that if you fell into the world of chay, it's not really who you are. You have to know that first and foremost. But then part of taking achrai is taking responsibility for it and saying, okay, well, where do I actually want to go to from here? Because the ir miklat is the destination for the person who killed Bishogeg. You have to get to the ir miklat or you haven't really protected yourself properly. In this week's parsha, in source number 10, Shalosh arim tavdil lach bisoch artzacha asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha l'rishtah. Set aside three cities in the land of Israel, designated as Ari Miklat. There's three in Eber HaYarden, there's three in the land of Israel proper. And then the pasuk says, Tachin Lecha Haderech. Prepare for yourself the road. Rashi explains, Miklat, Miklat Hayakosuv al Parshas Drachim. There were road signs pointing this way to the Ir Miklat, this way to the Ir Miklat, this way to the Ir Miklat. I'll ask you an interesting question. When else do Jews travel, you know, in... And really need to figure out where they're trying to get to. How about when a Jew comes, Aliyah LaRegel, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash? Are there road signs that say, Mikdash, Mikdash? There are not. In fact, the Torah's description of the Beis HaMikdash is, the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Just go seek it out, maybe you'll find it. The Ramban describes last week's parsha, you're on your way to Yerushalayim, you start asking around, does anyone know how to get to the Beis HaMikdash? But when it comes to the Ir Miklat, all of a sudden, there's very, very thoughtful and precise signs on the signage on the highway, mikla, mikla, to make sure that a person can get there. Because why am I going to the Ir Mikla? Because I missed the mark. I wasn't attentive. Someone got killed by accident. Right? It's not who I really am, but it still happened. Ino liado, it still came about through my hands. I need to make a cheshbon a nefesh. And therefore, says the pasuk, prepare the road. Decide, what do I want? Where am I trying to get to? If I don't know where I'm trying to get to, it's impossible to get there. I'll tell you a beautiful little story about the Brisker Rav. Two machanchim once came to the Brisker Rav. And they asked the Brisker Rav, they said, Rebbe, we have a machlokas in chinuch. Okay, what's the machlokas? Two teachers, elementary school teachers. They said, one of them said, you know, I like to start off the year very, very strict. You whip the students into shape, not literally, right, but you get the students in line, very firm, very tough. And then once the students understand the expectations, so then I soften up and I become a loving, gentle Rebbe. The other Rebbe said, no, you're doing it all wrong. You got to win over the students first with kindness and sweetness, right? Gentle, you know, demeanor. And then afterwards, once you've kind of won over your students, so then you can kind of raise the expectation. Who's right? So the Brisker Rav looked at them and he said, you know, we could debate the milas and the chesronos, the advantages and disadvantages of each approach. But the Brisker Rav said, but you know what I hear in this conversation that I really want to comment on? You know what's really, really delightful to hear? That both of you have an approach. you both have mahalach. You have a derech. Your derech might not be your friend's derech, might not be someone else's derech, but both of you have a thoughtful approach. And the Brisker Rav said, that's really good. Right? So on the one hand, an avera is haphazard. Avera is an accident that happened without thoughtfulness. So the tikkun for it is what is thoughtfulness. It's tachin lecha haderech. Find a path. Make an approach. Figure out where you're trying to get to. And I want to highlight in this story that dafka, you don't have to have the same approach. Where do I find the halachos of tshuva in the Shulchan Aruch? You know what the answer is? You don't. Why? I have halachos in the Shulchan Aruch how to put on my shoes. Why are there not halachos in the Shulchan Aruch for how to do tshuva? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wrote, or explained, that part of the reason is because it's a very personal matter. The way you do tshuva is not the way that I'm going to do tshuva. It's not the way someone else is going to do tshuva. Each of us has to kind of figure out our own derech in tshuva. And yes, there are road signs pointing us in the right direction, but we have to turn inward and figure out for ourselves, how do I get to where I'm trying to go? In the final source, before we run out of time, and I'll end with one final story as well. In the Shaar Yisaschar from the Munkat Rebbe, I'll tell it to you outside, you'll have a chance to look at it. There's another idea from the Arizal. Again, it's a deep idea, we can't really go into it now, but there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Gimel, that says, Hanosin Bayam Darech, that HaKadosh Baruch is describing Hashem's kindness in making a pathway through the water. Kriyas Yamsuf is the context. The Arizal tells us that this pasuk, in some mystical way, has something to do with Chodesh Elul. Leaving all the mysticism aside in the most simple way, what does this pasuk of making a path through the water have to do with Chodesh Elul? So the Munkat Rebbe explained, he said, there's a difference when a person travels on a road and a person travels on a boat. When you travel on the road, you'll notice there are lines. There are very specific spots you're supposed to be or not be. When can I make a right? When can I make a left? Right? When do I stop? If I drive off the road, I'll end up in a ditch. But if I'm a boat on the water, there's no lanes. There's no exact path to travel upon. Somehow in Chodesh Elul, in this month of Tshuva, each one of us is like that boat that's embarking on a journey. And like a boat, there's no exact right path that we have to travel on. As long as we have a path. As long as we're trying to get somewhere. We can't be haphazard and just decide, you know, well, I'll end up somewhere, like the cat told Alice. Know where you want to get to. Tachin lecha derech. That's part of the road to the Ir Mikla. Prepare the road to the Ir Mikla. And one of the ways that we do that, and just to bring ourselves full circle with one final idea, is encapsulated in the following story. There was once a Jew who was traveling from Lulav to Lublin. He's on his way to Lublin to visit his Rebbe. He's on his way to Lublin, and as he's traveling, he gets to a fork in the road, and he has no idea where to go. Why doesn't he know where to go? There's no road sign. There is a road sign, but there was a terrible snowstorm, and the road sign fell down. So he's trying to figure out what to do. He picks up the sign, he digs it up out of the snow, but he doesn't know which way to point it. He's trying to figure out, how do I get to Lublin? If I point the arrow in the wrong direction, I'll end up in the wrong direction. And all of a sudden it dawns upon him, hold on a second. I know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from Lulav. So if I point the arrow back in the direction where I know where I'm coming from, I'll be able to direct the arrow to where I'm trying to get to. That, to me, captures this entire shir. If we know where we're coming from, we know who we are, if we understand the essence of who we are, then it's much easier for us to figure out where we're trying to get to. So I give us a bracha. We should understand these ideas well. We have a Baruch Hashem. We have a nice full Chodesh Elul. So many opportunities, learning opportunities here. Growth opportunities here in Stern, and in life, the gift of Chodesh Elul, a chance to reflect and to try to remember who we are, remember where we're coming from, try to figure out where we're trying to get to. And Amir Tzashem, by the time we show up on Yom Kippur, we'll really believe, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper lechem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem tivah. Thank you so much.
Frank, what if you see your chauffeur? We're going to do it right now. Yeah, it's a good time while everyone's here. Oh.